Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bobby Gentry Goodwin of Finding Forever Beginning Bible Study. Thank you for tuning in today, and don't forget to hit subscribe.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Anybody ready for a Bible study? So tonight I'm going to be talking about joy and pain. You remember that song, Joy and Pain? I'm going to be talking about joy and pain. I mean, last week, I had saw the new preview for the movie God's Not Dead. And I remember that movie years ago when it came out. Very exciting movie for the Christian community. It was a good movie for the Christian community. We just watched it. And I remember texting everybody after the movie, God's Not Dead, God's Not Dead, God's Not Dead. It was a very good movie about what do people do in pain. What happens to the connection to Christ, to religion, to God when people are in pain? That really was a central focus of this movie. One of the teachers really had experienced a lot of tragedy, a lot of heartache, and a lot of pain. And out of that was birthed skepticism, anger, frustration, and a lack of trust. Even the belief in God was damaged. And so it really was a good movie. And I think this next movie just might be good as well. I mean, they're dealing with a whole nother subject. But this preview just really struck a chord in me because it just reminded me of that movie and how people in pain sometimes have trouble connecting to their very own source. The man was in pain. Now, I don't exactly remember why he was in pain, but I do know this, he was in pain. And he blamed God. Well, listen, I don't know if you ever have walked through that type of anger with God. I don't know if you ever walked through that type of pain with God or faced a struggle that seemed insurmountable and made you doubt your faith. And sometimes, you know, I've certainly wondered about some of the things that have come up in my life too. Like, oh my God, you know, why didn't he just fix this? Or why is this in my life? You know, I've tried to be obedient. I've tried to walk the walk and all of those things. Why me, God? Why this circumstance, God? This is so difficult, God. Come through for me, God. Answer my prayer. And sometimes when that answer doesn't come through, I mean, many times I just wanted to be the remote control for God. I just wanted to take God in my hands and say, listen, turn this channel. I wanted God to just be under my own control and my own authority and my own power. I just wanted to remote control him and say, listen, turn this TV off. I don't want to deal with this. But that's not how life works. And that's not who God is. So tonight, he brought me right to a passage in the Bible to study that really spoke to my heart this time. It really spoke to me that we just can't turn him to whatever channel we want to watch. And is that the type of God I want him to be? Let me tell you. I mean, I struggle with this many times, a time or two. Now, come on, Lord. Like, really, Lord. And, you know, since we last spoke, there has been some struggles that have come up that just made me think, really, Lord? Really, God? I don't know if you've ever been in that position. But if you ever found yourself saying, really, God? If you in a place that's like, really, God, or come on, Lord, or if you're in a place where I don't even know if he's real, this is a Bible study for you. If you've had that feeling, enough is enough, this is a Bible study for you. Because God had to show me something, and he took me to scripture just to remind me of who he is. He took me to the book of Job. So if you have your Bibles, please just join me in the book of Job. We're going to be coming from Job 29 verses 1 through 18. We're going to read a little bit in Job 30 verses 26 and Job 31 verses 1 through 4. So let's go. Let's dive into the word of God tonight. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So Job 29 verses 1:18. Job continued speaking. I long for the years gone by when God took care of me, when he lit up the way before me. See, that's faith of a little child, right? When he lit up the way before me and I walked safely through the darkness. I long for that place, Job is saying. When I was in my prime, God's friendship was felt in my home. The Almighty was still with me. And my children were around me. My cows produced milk in abundance, and my groves poured out streams of olive oil. He's talking about the overflow right here. Those were the days when I went to the city gate and took my place among the honored leaders. The young stepped aside when they saw me. He commanded a presence. And even the aged rose in respect at my coming. The princes stood in silence and put their hands over their mouth. The highest officials of the city stood quietly, holding their tongues in respect. Job was feeling it back then, like he had the audience, right? All who heard me praised me. All who saw me spoke well of me. For I assisted the poor in their need. Now, I want you to pay close attention to that verse 11. All who saw me spoke well of me. For I assisted the poor in their need and the orphans who required help. I helped those without hope, and they blessed me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Everything I did was honest. Righteousness covered me like a robe. I wore justice like a turban. I served as eyes for the blind and feet for the lame. I mean, he was feeling it. He like, I really did some good stuff. I was a father to the poor and assisted strangers who needed help. I broke the jaws of godless oppressors and plucked their victims from their teeth. I thought surely, I will die surrounded by my family after a long, good life. Now, in this passage, just in 29, you hear Job lamenting. You hear him saying, I long for those days when God was with me and everybody else was too. I had an audience. People loved me. They listened to me. They fawned over me. And because of all that I did, Surely, he says, I will die surrounded by my family after a good long life. Now we're going to jump into chapter 30, verse 26. So this is Job, right? He's still saying, so I look for good and evil came instead. So I'm leaving you off where he's looking for that good, that long life. But then later on, he says, as I look for good, it didn't come. Evil came instead. And Job verses 31, 1 through 4. And this is his final protest of innocence. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at young women. He was integral, he's saying. For what has God above chosen for us? What is our inheritance from the Almighty on high? Isn't it calamity for the wicked and misfortune for those who do evil? Doesn't he see everything I do and every step I take? So Job is in pain. Job is really having a hard time. He's saying, look, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Surely I'm going to have a long life, a long blessed life. Surely that's what happens when you serve God Almighty, that your works equates to his blessings. That your work, all the things that you have done to honor him, all the things that you have done to edify him, all the things that you have done to keep his ordinances should result in blessings. A long life without calamity. And that's not what Job got. Job felt like he got evil instead. So this is some interesting text, right? I mean, I can't even begin to know. If anybody knows the story of Job, if you've been in a pew for a hot minute, you know the story of Job. This Old Testament story, it really talks about how Job lost everything he owned after the devil came to God and asked, hey, I've been roaming the earth here and looking for somebody to devour, basically. And God is saying, hey, have you considered my servant Job? God offered Job up and said, hey, this is a righteous man. Have you considered him? So as a result, Job lost everything he owned, his children, his servants, his health, his family. He lost everything. We know, if you've been in church for just a second, you know how that all started. That Satan came to God in his presence, and God basically gave Satan permission to test Job. He could be one put to the test because his faithfulness. And who we did the devil do just that? The devil even asked God, hey, you got a hedge of protection around him. Why don't you remove that? Because I got to get at this boy. And God said, okay, you know what? Just don't kill him. Don't harm him in that way. And so that's exactly what the devil did. Well, listen, now that y'all reacquainted with this story, which you probably knew anyway, all throughout this book of Job, it's probably, you know, if you have been a while since you read it, all throughout this book, it's all about conversation. It starts with the conversation that the devil is having with God, and then it turns into a conversation that Job has with his wife. Then it turns and his servants as people are dying around him and people are coming to tell him. Then it ends up in a conversation with Job and his friends who comes to support him. But instead of supporting him, three of his friends come at him and start chopping him down and making him feel even worse. And back and forth, Job goes with his friends. Back and forth. And then a friend, Eli, who a young man in the text, he comes to Job and say, hey, listen here. I waited all this time to say something, and I'm going to speak my piece. And then Job has conversations with himself and eventually has a conversation with God. This book talks all about conversations, all about the language in the air, all about what is spoken, what is truth and what is not truth. See, Job, in this text that we read, he thought he was speaking truth, just like his friends thought he was speaking truth. He was sitting in his own truth, but not sitting in God's truth. I mean, even Job was refuting his friends, declaring his innocence to them approximately 10 times. So he was sure, right, that he was innocent. He was sure he didn't do anything to deserve this. But he was also sure that God had turned his back on him. And sometimes that could just feel like it. Sometimes as we go through, it can feel like God turns his back on us. Sometimes we just don't understand why we're walking through the situation we're walking through, why we're dealing and battling with what we're battling with, or why we've lost loved ones that we lost, or why, you know, we've had a losing of jobs and losing things and grieving things. We just wonder what is going on, especially when we've tried to position ourselves in religiosity to earn some rewards. This is faulty thinking. All throughout this book of the Bible is a lot of faulty thinking. Job spoke to his friends, and then he starts speaking about himself. He's desperate, he's depressed, he's hopeless, he's isolated in pain. And he's speaking out, I'm woe is me. I'm innocent and all this calamity is happening to me. Where is God? Where is God? He must hate me. He declares he's been a good person. He's done the right thing before God. He's done the right thing before men. He declares even what he thinks is happening with God. Where is my inheritance? And we can sit there sometimes in our space of pride. See, I don't begin to know what Job was going through, and I don't want to know what Job was going through. But I also know that it also weaved into this text of conversation is pride. Pride. And you know, pride comes before the fall. You know, these friends of his, so prideful to know, think they know in their own wisdom what's going on with Job. And Job, a little bit prideful himself, thinking he knows what's going on and what he deserves and what he doesn't deserve. His works deserved reward. Job saying, all right now, God, I've been good. I should be paid in full because I've been good. And when I thought about this, it brought me right back to the beginning of the book. Have you considered my servant Job? See, Job served God, but his relationship with God could have been a little stagnant. Job served God, but his relationship with God could have a little bit muted. Job served God, but his relationship with God could have been a little bit challenged. Have you considered my servant Job? Job was serving. He even did offerings for his children. There were no priests at that. He did offerings for his children. That's my understanding. But it appears he thought service was attached to blessing. And I had to put a question here in my own mind. I had to think about this real hard. Is the things I'm doing for God or I'm doing for me? Am I trying to be paid in full? I had to put a question here for myself. Is the sacrifices I'm making, the things that I'm doing, the way I'm trying to serve others and love others, am I doing it for God or am I doing it for me? Or even as Job alluded to, what people thinks about me. Does God just want us to serve him? Is that all he wants from us? Is to serve him and do what is required? Does he want us to be robotic about our faith? Does he love us only when we're being good? You know the answer to that. What is God looking for out of relationship with us? What is he looking for? Surely he doesn't need us. Surely he don't need us. He existed before us. He created us and everything around us. What does he really want from us? But this passage led me to think, what do I really want from him? What do you really want from God tonight? What do you really want from him tonight? Do you want a well done, thy good and faithful servant? Do you want blessings? Do you want the good and not the bad? What do you really want from God tonight? Is he only here to bless us? Is he only here so we can end up in heaven rejoicing one day? Is he only here to save us when we're in trouble? What do God really want from us? But what do we really want from him? We all want to go to heaven. We all want to be blessed. We all want to be rescued from trouble. But is that it? Is that why we're served?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Thanks again for joining us at Finding Forever. Are you learning? Or are you growing? Or are you simply walking away with more questions? We here at Finding Forever certainly hope so, and we want to continue to encourage you to dive into God's Word. Visit us at BobbyGentryGoodwin.com and sign up for the email list, and you'll receive a free gift, a copy of the study notes from tonight's lesson, so you can dive into your own Bible study in your own home. May God bless you on your journey. And now, back to the lesson. Let's take a closer look at Job. Think about him critically. What did Job really want from God? See, Job was adept in working for God, but what about worshiping God? He was adept in the skills that it took and the things to do, the law of it all. But what about worshiping God? What about getting to know God? He knew who God was. He knew God was someone to be feared. But did he know that God was someone to have a relationship with? Don't get me wrong. My heart totally goes out to Job. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. But one thing that I searched for in this book, of all of Job's responses and all of his friends' responses, it was hard for me to find, was an awareness of God's love and his true character. See, we see God in this book of the Bible as this authority figure, as he is. We see God as this ruler without relationship. We see God as this just God, but not a merciful God. We miss that in this book. At least I did. This is my own interpretation. Maybe the hedge was removed, not just for the devil to test Job, but for Job to know God more deeply. Maybe something has come up in your life to let you know God more deeply. I knew God, but when I got sick and on my bed of affliction and I didn't know if I was going to make it, I got to know God a little bit more deeply. And I'm still learning, even as I'm in a space of affliction right now. I'm trying and trying to seek God, to learn of him, to learn of his characteristics, to know that he is not only God, but he is good. See, joy and pain is a funny thing. When we enjoy, it's easy to worship. When we enjoy, it's easy to testify. When we're in joy, it's easy to serve. But when we're in pain, even Job got suicidal. When our heart is broken, how do we see God? When our heart is broken, how do we see God? When our heart is broken, what questions do we ask God? Why is a good question? But show me, Lord. Show me your goodness. Show me new aspects of you. Show me who you are in this situation, Lord. Expand my knowledge of you. Expand my territory. Expand my testimony. See, it's different questions that we can ask and pose to God. But the one thing that I missed in this text is the mercy and grace of God. That Job just didn't tap into it. Even one of Job's friends, Elihu, this young guy who came later, he said, wait a minute, Job, you talking crazy. I mean, that's basically what he said. You talking crazy right now. God doesn't hate you. God ain't out to get you. What makes you think you so high on the list that God is sitting here pinpointing you to pinch you and point at you and poke you? God don't need us. We need him. And listen, that's exactly what Elihu, even though, you know, he's a friend and people have different opinions about his opinion to Job. But one thing I saw was that he reminded Job of who God is. God is sovereign. He reminded Job of exactly who he was talking about. You talking crazy. Elihu, instead of choosing to remind Job of his situation and why he was in that situation, he chose to remind Job of who was also in the situation. He chose to remind Job who also was in control. He chose to remind Job of the light of God. He told to Job to remind him the light of God, who God is. He tried to remind him, listen, this is the God that you serve. This is the God you're talking about. This is what he really looked like. He chose to remind Job of who God was. In spite of his circumstance, he reminded him. Now, that's the kind of friend I need, right? I mean, people have different opinions about Elihu and the other friends, obviously. But Job, listen, when things was going down, sometimes I try to look to my friends for comfort, or they kind of come to me to comfort me, or, you know, but I need a friend that's going to point me to Jesus and remind me the expanse of who he is. Remind me of the power he holds in his hand. Remind me of everything that's happening to me is working out for my good and for his glory. To remind me to not look through the needle. Put on some different lens and broaden my view. That's exactly what Elihu was doing. Elihu reminds Job in times of trouble, remember who God truly is. And I'm saying that to you tonight. If you in a time of trouble, remember who God truly is. Remember him. Remember his character of grace, of mercy, of love, of compassion. Remember him in his righteousness, that he is refining us and shaping us and molding us. Remember God. Line that up with your situation. If you line that up with your situation, God reigns every time. No matter what you're going through, if you remember that God has grace and mercy over your life, you will know that God reigns every time. It ain't even close. Go to Job verse 36, 5 and 10, verses 16, 36, 22 through 24. Those are good, rich texts. God causes the garden to grow. Listen, he causes the garden. We may plant, but it's not up to us if that plant will grow or not. Some wither and some sprout. It's not in our choice. We do what we can. But thank God that we have the capacity to be in the garden in the first place. He knows that what he puts under the hood of our cars makes the car run the way it's supposed to run. He never told us to put our name on buildings. He never told us to do that. He never told us to be prideful and to gloat and to seek the approval of man. He never told us to do that. He told us he will elevate us. We did that. We put our names on the building. We put our names on the building that what we deserve, what we work for, we deserve. What we work for should be acknowledged. What we worked for should be recognized by the world. What we think we build, we think belongs to us. But no. See, that's the place Job was coming from. But no. Do good and good will come back to you. Do bad and bad will come back to you. That's the law of attraction, not the law of God. We all have done bad, but by the grace of God, there go I. We all have done bad, but we don't get what we deserve. This ain't no law of attraction. God is sovereign. You know, my nephew asked me last night, we were on a conversation. He said, "Why?" We were talking about why do bad things happen to good people? Listen, and I had to tell him, I don't know, but I know we live in a fallen world. But we don't serve a fallen God. I know every day we walk among fallen people, but we don't serve a fallen God. I know that as we walk, we also fall, but we don't serve a fallen God. I know that my God got up and he reigns and he has all power. That's what I do know. And it ain't for me to know. See, this is not science. This is salvation. Job and all of us are not in position to explain the unexplainable. Job and I and all of us are not in this position to try to explain and have the wisdom of God. Job is like me and many of us. He looked at things from a human level. He responded in a human way, but I think he forgot that he served the divine. Just as you can serve the divine, just as I serve the divine. He forgot that God walked with Adam and Eve before they even did one thing. One thing. It wasn't their works. He still walked with them. And even after the fall, he walked with them and stayed with them and blessed them. God loves us for who we are, not just for what we do. And Elihu reminded Job of God's love and his sovereignty. We're not in the pursuit of happiness. We're in the pursuit of purpose. And sometimes purpose requires things of us that's hard. Purpose requires things of us that's uncomfortable. Purpose requires things of us that requires us to be vulnerable. Purpose requires of us things that we'll never understand. No one knows the mind of God. But we can remember some things. We can remember this old churchy song, "Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me." While I'm on this tedious journey, on this pursuit of purpose, this tedious journey, sometimes it's just tedious. Walk with me anyway. And if you do not know him, get to know him. If you don't know him at the level that you feel like you need to, seek after him. See, Job knew who God was, knew the tenets of his law, but his relationship needed growth. I mean, even after Job, all he went through, Job responded this way in Job 42:5, which highlights just that. I had only heard about you before, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. I heard about you before, but now, honey, I know you better. Since that hedge was removed and the test came, Job grew deeper in his faith. He experienced God in a new way. And don't we all want to? We want the testimony, but not the test, right? And read how Job responds to God if you want to continue to study in 39 through 42. Surely we can live life and want to live life in a way that we are blessed. And sometimes we want to live a life that we don't have to be accountable to nobody and just wait for that deathbed salvation like the thief on the cross. But a relationship with God is not just about the destination. It's about the journey. Open your heart to him today. Walk with me, Lord. No matter what you're going through, walk with me, Lord. No matter what you went through, be my friend, Lord. No matter what you think you know, I need Jesus to walk with me.
Thank you for tuning in. I surely hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check me out on social media or stop by my webpage, bobbygentrygoodwin.com. And if you have a chance, pick up my new book, Revelation. It's available at all major retailers.